Ed Royce is chair of the Subcommittee on Terrorism, Nonproliferation, and Trade, and joins me on that. Nice to have you on. Would you agree that the end is almost near for the current regime in Syria?
Well, when you consider that the defense minister was killed, in addition to the some of the other leadership, as you mentioned, Bill, that's a pretty high target to be able to hit in Damascus. And, of course, there are probably 18, 20,000 people who have died now since this fighting started. But clearly there are key figures in the regime who are being taken out today.
You know, I had always read over the last 10 or 20 years that Syria had a pretty good military. It was not a country that you'd want to mess with. And they've gotten involved in neighboring battles in places like Lebanon. And I can't believe that they've been pushed back this far. Who are they fighting against, and how did they get equipped, and how have they been so successful?
Well, I think that a lot of this dates back to the Arab Spring. That's maybe a year and a half ago that this uprising against the Assad regime began. And we've got to remember that the regime is made up principally, especially in the military, the high command, is a minority population of Alawites who are an offshoot of Shiite Muslim ideology as opposed to the majority Sunnis in the country. So it's a fairly small cadre that run the country, run the military at the top. And now that you've got this free Syrian army with all these defections, Iran's ally, Syria, is facing a real crisis in the fact that people are going to the streets and joining the opposition. And all the force that the regime is using with shelling neighborhoods and deploying these Russian gunships are creating more backlash among the population. The atrocities are basically causing people to get active with the Free Syrian Army in opposition to Assad's regime.
And what's the likely outcome if Assad falls, and it looks like he will? Will the world be a safer place? Who's going to replace him?
The first question is, will the world be a safer place? And that depends on how quickly we can react, or the West can react, to those 50 sites that hold mustard gas and sarin gas and the worst nerve agent made, VX. All of that is weaponized. And the question is, can Turkey or some regime in the vicinity, maybe Jordan, move quickly, secure those sites, and make certain that that doesn't fall into the hands of these different terrorist organizations who would love to get their hands on that? You remember what happened in Libya with the attempts by Al-Qaeda to get these shoulder-fired missiles. Imagine what Al-Qaeda would like to do in terms of getting their hands on, you know, mustard gas or sarin. And so it's important that we have in place, working with our allies in the region, working with other governments that have similar concerns and are on the front lines, a plan whereby their units go in and secure this. Second, you asked the question about what type of government follows. And again, hopefully...
Remember in Egypt, we were told, yeah, the Muslim Brotherhood, it's a minority. They're not likely to have much power. They may be organized, but no, they're not going to be a major influence. Well, how did that guess go? Are we looking at a similar kind of situation here?
I was very concerned about Egypt on that very issue and presumed that the Muslim Brotherhood and Salafists would gain control of that country, given the way that that was handled. In this case, we also have to be concerned because there are Syrian Brotherhood representatives in this coalition. And, you know, we haven't heard much about the political platform other than overthrowing the regime. But at the same time, remember this regime in Iran is Syria's in Syria is Iran's closest ally. I was in Haifa when it was being shelled by rockets made in Syria. Hezbollah had that war, you know, a couple of years ago there with Israel, and they were firing these Syrian-made, Iranian-made rockets, and we later found that, you know, the number of rockets provided, especially by Syria, were in the tens of thousands. So it would be advantageous probably at this point in time for the people in Iran, two-thirds of which, according to polling, would like to see a Western-style democracy in their country. It would be good for them to see a pro-Iranian regime removed from neighboring Syria, because that would send the message to them. And remember, they've lived through an election in which it was stolen from them. They have a very unpopular regime now in place. That might be the impetus that would carry this into a removal of Ahmadinejad from power. Now, that really would change the course of human events. So from that standpoint, the removal of Ahmadinejad's closest ally would be very, very helpful.
It seems like the Obama administration, though, is trying very hard to stay out of it. Will they have any friends within the rebel forces if they take control of the government?
Well, the way to handle this, I think, is by having our intelligence agencies working, aiding the opposition with communications and other logistical aid that we provide. That creates...
Are you talking about Iran now or Syria?
I'm talking about Syria. And right. that creates the ability for us to know more about these personalities.
Isn't it a little late for that, though? Aren't they going to feel like they did it without the U.S. help? So don't ask us for any favors.
Did. They largely did.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're also working with Turkish and Jordanian sources as well. And all of those countries have the same interest, at least when it comes to Iran and the current Syrian regime, which is to say they all view the Iranians and Assad's leadership in Syria as very destabilizing in their attempts to gain nuclear weaponry in Iran and their attempts to destabilize the region.
Thanks for talking to us. Appreciate it.
Bill, thank you very much.
Ed Royce, who chairs the Subcommittee on Terrorism, Nonproliferation, and Trade, talking to us about what's going on in Syria.